just the 16th, SNI and SNI Digital Baghdad Neurosurgery Online Meeting held on August 7th, 2022. The meeting originator and coordinator is Samer Haas. Video editors are Mustafa Ismail, the College of Medicine, University of Baghdad, and Fatima Ayad, fourth-year medical student, University of Baghdad. And the resources of the foundation supporting this program. This is a section headed for young neurosurgeons and student speakers. There'll be three short presentations. The young neurosurgeons and student speakers include Sally M. Mary, senior neurosurgery resident of Iraqi Board of Neurosurgery, Neurosciences Hospital in Baghdad. Akhtem O. Al-Khafaji, Department of Surgery, College of Medicine, University of Baghdad, Baghdad, Iraq. And Hanin A. Salah, Department of Biology, College of Science, the Mustan Syria University, Baghdad, Iraq. The first presentation will be by Salah Mary, senior neurosurgery resident at the Iraqi Board of Neurosurgery, Neurosciences Hospital in Baghdad. He will talk about the complications and outcomes associated with the clipping of ruptured intracranial anterior circulation aneurysms, a single center experience.
So I would like to introduce Saleh, who's a final year. Board resident, Iraqi board, and he's very brilliant. And yes, Saleh, you can share your presentation and please introduce yourself more. And you have the stage.
My presentation is complications and outcomes associated with ruptured clipping of ruptured anterior circulation aneurysm.
Can you make a full screen, please?
Yes. The background about the aneurysm is derived from the anterior cerebral circulation. Approximately 85% of all intracranial aneurysms, and due to intricate flow distribution within the carotid system and its close anatomical connection to the surrounding brain parenchyma and cranial nerves, these aneurysms may be difficult to treat even more so following rupture. While endovascular techniques such as detachable coils and flow diverting devices have improved patient outcomes and established themselves as an attractive first-line treatment option for ruptured intracranial aneurysms, they remain inaccessible in many developing countries. The study was a retrospective chart analysis performed on 81 cases who underwent microsurgical clipping of ruptured aneurysm anterior circulation in period of October 2019 to October 2021. The study was conducted at the Neurosurgery Teaching Hospital in Baghdad in Iraq, based on preoperative information and operative data and postoperative informations. Regarding preoperative informations, patient demographics, comorbidities, clinical manifestations, CT findings, aneurysm characteristics. Regarding operative data, the time from bleeding day to the operation day, the surgical approach used, whether perioral or supraorbital versus interhemispheric, interhemispheric approach, whether lamina terminalis or Lillequist membrane fenestration, temporary clipping, intraoperative rupture occurrence, and intraoperative monitoring, intraoperative blood loss, and need for any blood transfusion, papaverine use intraoperatively, and gyrosrectus resection. The postoperative data, including clinical data, Lascaux coma scare, bleeding, vasospasm, weakness, seizure, stroke, cranial nerve palsy, and dysphagia, image finding, post-operatively, whether ICH, IVH, or residual neck aneurysm on CT scan, CT angio, sorry, hydrocephalus, CSF diversion devices, external ventricular drain or ventricular peritoneal shunt, ventilator support, and tracheostomy. Information on other local and systemic complications, such as occurrence of intracranial infection, wound infection, DVT, and pulmonary embolism, chest infection. The follow-up data question focuses on the following: Glasgow outcome score used at discharge and 6 months interval until the last follow-up, and also residual neck seizure hydrocephalus. All these informations were classified, tabulated, and analyzed. The aim of our study is to closely document the procedure-related complications and post-operative complications and outcomes, and to look for links between these outcome measures and various patient and aneurysm-specific features. The outcome measures were regarding the seizure at discharge 9.9% and at follow-up 1.3%, regarding weakness 23.5% and 3.9% at follow-up, regarding hydrocephalus 3.7% at discharge and 1.3% at follow-up. The Glasgow outcome score have five grades: a good recovery, where 82.7% at discharge is increasing to 93.4% at follow-up; moderate disability 9.9% at discharge and at follow-up 5.3%; severe disability 1.2% at discharge and 1.3% at follow-up; persistent vegetative state was zero, and death was five cases. The following factors associated with poor outcome: the Glasgow outcomes for at discharge and last follow-up. The weakness with p-value less than 0.003 is a significant factor, and post-operative vasospasm with p-value less than 0.003, and need for ventilator and tracheostomy support with p-value less than 0.0001, and pulmonary embolism with p-value less than 0.002. The final outcome on our study of patient with the clipping rupture intracranial aneurysms was 94% alive and 6% dead. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Saleh, for your presentation. You can stop the sharing and let's have a comment and a question.
The second talk will be given by Aktham O. Al-Khafaji of the Department of Surgery, the College of Medicine, University of Baghdad, on the impact of the neurosurgery mentorship in which he participated.
And now I want to introduce Aktham. Aktham, he's a medical student, and he's just graduated and from medical school in Baghdad, and he's one of those in the first rank in the college, he will present his experience till now, and you have the stage, Aktham.
Thank you, Dr. Samer. Thank you, professors, esteemed colleagues and residents, and everyone who's attending. Thank you for the opportunity to present my experience with you. So as Dr. Samer said, I graduated from Baghdad University School of Medicine in 2021. And I was fortunate enough to be an alumnus of the 6th Haas Neurosurgery Mentorship Program in 2019. So today I'd like to talk to you about how that program helped kickstart a potential career for me and my colleagues in that mentorship in neurosurgery and in medicine in general. I hate to talk about myself, so I'm sorry. you have to bear with me. But this is about navigating life and navigating our medical lives post the Haas Neurosurgery Mentorship Program. Here's a picture of me and my colleagues during the mentorship in 2019. I just want to point out here that every single one of us has found his own pathway, whether it be in neurosurgery, neurology, neuroradiology, medical education, and other medical fields that we were introduced to through the mentorship program. So the mentorship started in late 2019 and had a great focus on clinical exposure, bridging the gap between theory and practice for us. As many of my colleagues know, this is kind of hard to come by in classical medical education through medical school in Iraq. So it was very fortunate for us to be able to attend wet labs, simulations, and even chances to observe and scrubbing on complex neurosurgical procedures. And to be honest, we took these experiences, we took these connections that we made through the mentorship, and we built upon them to get more and more clinical exposure. So that me and a lot of my colleagues who were with me had the chance and the privilege to attend hundreds of hours in neurosurgical OR, to attend neuro ICU, to be in the wards, to see patients, talk to them, to have shifts in neurosurgical emergency rooms, even to be involved and to see, be involved in cath suit and in angiographic procedures, neurointerventional procedures. So that was in terms of the clinical exposure. The other big part of the mentorship program focused on education, and specifically peer education. It was a big thing for our mentorship program. It had a focus on giving us the confidence to present in front of an audience, whether it be large or small. And we took that and went out there. Some of us, this helped them kickstart their career in peer education, in medical education. Some gave talks on neurosurgical TV. Others, including me, got the great opportunity to present on SNI meetings in front of such esteemed audience such as this one. So it was a really big opportunity to get us past the stage frights that a lot of medical students have and present on an international level, which was something we had never participated in before. And you can see here, this is my colleague, Sama. She was a first-year medical student. She was at least 3-4 years behind every other participant in the mentorship. And here she is explaining the venous system to us. So peer education was a big thing in our mentorship program. And then comes research, which is, I think, like the biggest part of the Haas Neurosurgery Mentorship Program, and something that Dr. Haas has strongly instilled in each and every one of us, a focus on the scientific process, a focus on publishing your ideas and making your voice heard in the world, which is something that also Professor Osman emphasizes on a lot. So the story starts like this. The topic of this research is very rare. It's not something that we see a lot in clinical practice, but we were fortunate or unfortunate, I don't know, enough to encounter a case of a patient who presented to the neurosurgical teaching hospital with classical features of subarachnoid hemorrhage. We did a CT angiogram, which you can see here, and the CT angiogram showed an ACOM aneurysm, sacular aneurysm in the anterior communicating artery, but it showed something else, which was very surprising to us, which was that there was no internal carotid artery on one of the sides. It was obliterated. It was a plastic internal carotid artery, which was later confirmed by angiography. Okay, so as you saw in the CT angio, he had an ACOM aneurysm and the ICA was missing. Now, one thing that we usually do in open clipping of aneurysms is that we need to achieve proximal control, proximal and distal controls. And sometimes we have to do temporary clipping to achieve that control, especially in cases that the aneurysm ruptures intraoperatively or the flow is very high and we need to control it to be able to clip it safely. So that is something we have to do in an aneurysm surgery. And usually in ACOM surgery, we can do that safely because there is a collateral network, because the circumvallus doesn't stop and the patient gets blood from the other internal carotid artery. In our case, we had a problem because our patient did not have an internal carotid artery, okay, on one side. This was absent. So this presents a problem for my younger colleagues. I'm sorry for the professors, but I have to explain this for the younger colleagues. If you don't have an internal carotid artery on this side, then all the blood to this side of the brain is coming from the contralateral internal carotid artery or from the posterior circulation. So it becomes kind of a problem if you have to temporarily clip this artery, which is the first segment of the anterior cerebral artery, because there is no ICA here, and you clip this one, you are basically cutting off the blood supply through the ACOM that goes to the other side of the brain, because it doesn't have an internal carotid artery. So this was a major issue. This was a problem for us. So what did we do? Well, we went back to the literature. We tried to look at things from a new perspective. And we found two interesting things in the literature. First off, we found that there are very few, if none at all, literature on the subject of internal carotid artery being absent with an anterior communicating artery aneurysm. We tried all our best. We found about 34, I think, case reports and technical notes on this particular condition being combined with an ACOM aneurysm. So we didn't have a lot of evidence to start off with. We had to depend on anecdotal evidence, so to speak. And secondly, we found a wonderful classification by Dr. Lai, which classifies the patterns of anastomosis and collateral flow in the context of an aplastic internal carotid artery. So we saw that in something called a Lai type A, the MCA gets its blood supply from the posterior circulation. In Lai type B, we found that the anterior communicating artery provides from the other contralateral side, provides the blood supply to all of the brain on the ipsilateral side that has no carotid artery. And so as such as can be found in the full classification of Lai. So the task was simple. We looked at all the reported case reports on this condition in particular, in terms of their Lai classification. We modified it to just the ones that are relevant to ACOM aneurysms. And we proposed a treatment algorithm to clip, as I said, to clip or not to clip the aneurysm based on the risk of compromising the collateral flow to the part that has no internal carotid artery. And that's it. That was the article. We just had to write it. The idea was complete. So it was written by me and my colleagues under the supervision of Dr. Sammer. And lo and behold, it was published in SNI. It was my first neurosurgical article that I had contributed to be published, and it was a very proud moment. And since then, I have had the great honor and opportunity to participate in over 10 neurosurgical papers with Dr. Hose and his team. So that is something great for me. At last, all the lessons I learned, how to share knowledge from Dr. Hose, how to appreciate research, and how to be enthusiastic about it, all drove me and my colleagues to start a new project, Biostatistics Central, where we aim to share our passion for the scientific process with a wider audience, sharing knowledge and experience in the research in a modern way, and matching people with mentors in different medical specialties so they can all start and accomplish their aspirations to be young researchers, to be the physician-scientist model. That's all. Thank you all for listening to me, and I hope my presentation was not too boring. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Akram. You can stop the share.
Yes.
Thank you for this nice presentation. I am biased definitely with your achievement and proud of it. I will wait for comment from the panel and the colleague if anyone have a comment. Do you have a comment, Dr. Osman?
I do. There's a comment from Musama up there, I think.
Yeah.
He wants a question.
Yeah. Osama, introduce yourself first, and please go.
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Osama Dalal, a fourth-year medical student at RCSI Bahrain. So much for the presentation, and I was really fascinated by the unilateral absence of the internal carotid artery. My question is, like, it's well known that the primary collateral pathway is from the Wilsonian circulation through the AECOM and the PCOM. So what about the secondary collateral pathways through the ophthalmic and leptomeningeal collaterals? Were they present?
Yeah, thank you for your question, Osama. The secondary collateral pathways were not really mentioned in the literature. We tried to look at it from that perspective. And even looking at Dr. Lai's classification, it does not mention secondary collaterals. It mentions some remnants, fetal pathways, such as the transcavernous pathway, but there was no mention of secondary collateral because maybe they don't contribute as much. And we haven't seen it in our patient either. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much again.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Osama. That's a brilliant question. Maybe you want
I'll just provoke I'll just make a. I could talk about this for a long time. I won't. But the reason you didn't find much in the literature is because most people don't do four vessel angiograms, and the literature is filled with that, which means it leaves you with only information about the anterior circulation, and not the posterior circulation. So Osama's question is excellent. And what I think you would find, particularly if that occlusion is chronic, that there would be collateral circulation, which is what Assam is referring to, through the vertebral arteries, through the posterior communicating arteries, probably even into the hemisphere. And even the carotid endarterectomy trials that were done with randomized controlled studies in the 1980s did not require four vessel angiograms. That's not a useful study. But major decisions were made on that basis. So unless you know all of the things you can about the circulation, it's very difficult to make a conclusion. The second thing is the reason why you have aneurysms developing is because the flow patterns have been changed, and the flow will contribute to aneurysm formation, and you'll find that in people who have absent carotid arteries. If it's an acute occlusion, which I doubt because it had been asymptomatic, it's probably chronic. My guess is there were collaterals. So I think it's a very good, Akdam is very good. I enjoyed hearing about your experience. I think it reflects the experience of all the people there, and you should continue to do what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
The very, very impressive presentation, really, in all aspects, including your timing.
Yeah. Thank you,
and,
Professor.
I'm really proud of this group which you have with the OZ mentorship. Really proud. And it is an opening a gate for real and sound way of developing research and studying medicine in the proper way. And that will be hopefully to be an example for other specialties to follow. So thank you both. Thank you.
That is the hope. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Professor. And thank you, Akhtem. I should give the credit to Akhtem. This paper, exactly, I give him the idea, the case, and receive it as it is. That's the first paper for him. So, you know, it's what they say, that it's from the egg. It's there. The chicken is there. So, yeah, he's from the first writing that he put. He's at a different level. And I'm really happy with the time that he spent, and I'm really more proud now that he has his project and he's advancing toward it, and he have the full support from all of us. All the best. Thank you, Akhtem. And I will go rapidly to the next.
The last talk in the young neurosurgeon and student speaker section will be given by Hanin A. Salah of the Department of Biology, College of Science, in the Mastan Syria University in Baghdad, Iraq.
Presenter will be Hanin. Hanin is a student, and she will take less than 10 minutes, I think around 7 minutes also. And from that, We will go to Dr. Osman's presentation and the question and answer at the end. Yeah, Hanin, you can share the screen and start your presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Samer. Hi, everyone. My name is Hanin, and I'll tell you about my story with the Hosner Neurosurgery Mentorship. I joined this mentorship in 2021 while I was still a senior student. I think I have some poor connection.
We can hear you clear.
So at the beginning of an email that I sent to Dr. Samer, he was very kind that he sent me his phone number to talk about it directly. So at the beginning of the mentorship was intensive lectures of neuroimaging and neuroanatomy. They were very, very helpful. Another effective way of learning I have found in this mentorship was the students' feedback. Because each student, after they attend the operations, they have to write a description about the cases, and they send pictures and videos of MRIs and CT scans. Until my time came to attend, these are the students' feedback, and I don't know if you can see here, this is the videos and the pictures they send after
yes,
they attend the operations. Okay, so I think that was very helpful to learn more, even if you weren't there. Until my time came to attend the operations was about after 5 months joined this mentorship. I attended these operations, and also I have attended many diagnostic and therapeutic angiographic catheterizations. I'll tell you today about my favorite cases. The first one is the motor cortex cavernoma. Was a 30-year-old male referred to the hospital due to 2-month history of focal seizures. This is the preoperative MRI. A sagittal section shows the cavernoma deep to the right precentral gyrus. And this is also a preoperative MRA. It shows the relation between the cavernoma and the cerebral vasculature. So the intercerebral dissection was done with the aid of the intraoperative ultrasonography neural navigation to detect the exact location of the lesion, so they can start the ultrasonical dissection, the intracerebral dissection. And also the motor cortical mapping was done with the aid of the functional mapping and the intraoperative neurophysiological monitoring. As you can see here, this is the bipolar mode, because most of these area was a facial motor area. So they use the bipolar mode to detect a lesser facial activity so they can start the intra-sulcal dissection without causing any damages. That was integral part of this surgery. The cavernoma, the precentral gyrus cavernoma, is one of the most challenging operations because of the bleeding and the severe defects. But the outcome of this case was very successful. And the team submitted a case report about it a few weeks ago. I'm very excited about it, and I hope it will be published soon. So my second favorite case was the vibromuscular dysplasia. Was a 53-year-old male referred to the hospital due to history of transit, frequent transit ischemic attacks with the upper left lumbar weakness. This is the preoperative angiography. For those who are not very familiar with the vibromuscular dysplasia, it's a rare vascular disease that causes a irregular cellular reproduction and causes this irregular deformed of the arterial wall, as you can see here. This is the right extracranial ICA with multiple stenosis. The treatment of choice for this case was the extracranial intracranial bypass to improve the blood flow and to prevent any further strokes. This is the preoperative T1 MRI. It shows the CSF filled cleft extended from the frontal horn of the lateral ventricle to the Sylvian fissure. This is also a preoperative T2 weighted MRI. It shows the CSF filled cleft from a frontal parietal region. So the last one is the recurrent glioblastoma. This one is my favorite for so many reasons. One of them is I actually assist in the operation. This is me with the normal saline, and this is with the bone flip at the end. So attend the operations is a different feelings, and being this close and being part of the team. As I used different feelings. I think it was outstanding experience. And also I was very stressed because, you know, you don't want to touch the surgeon and you don't want to touch the microscope. You don't want to do any damages, but it was outstanding experience. So that was a brief description of the what I have learned from the anatomy and the imaging. I learned also some life skills, for example, the teamwork skills. So when you attend the operations, you see there are four surgeons working on the same case, and there are also residents and students all working on the same case. And also not just that, in their papers and in their books, everything is a teamwork effort. I think this is a unique part of this mentorship is everything is a teamwork effort. And also I have learned many other skills like leadership, communication skills, networking, and so many other skills. So I'll tell you, that was a brief, again, description of the mentorship. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Hanin Saleh. I have graduated from the Biology Department, College of Science. I am the only non-medical student in this mentorship. And I think I am the only one who attended the surgeries in my country. I think mainly my interest came during my teenage years. I was fascinated and very inspired by Dr. David Eagleman's ideas and Dr. Sergio Canavero's the human-machine interactions, the idea of making a human more than humans. I think that was fascinating. It shows that there is no limit of what we can achieve, and there is no limit to what we can be as a humans. I think that what got me hooked up with neuroscience, and I decided I want to become a neuroscientist. But unfortunately, I live in a country where we do not have a neuroscience department. We do not have the facilities to study the brain. But also I was lucky enough to live in a country where we have someone like Dr. Samer with his unconditional support and his limitless opportunities. I'm forever thankful for this opportunity, Dr. Samer. So one thing I have learned about this mentorship is that I was mainly interested in science just because I was curious and I wanted to know why and how things works. But attending the operations and seeing the patients and their families, it's very emotional experience, I must say. So basically, we're not doing research because we're curious. We're doing research to help people less suffer. This is all to create a better life. Currently, I am working to apply on a postgraduate school, and I want to establish a neuroscience department here in Iraq. Due to the current situation with the market and the job, it's not a very wise decision, but I want to establish a clinical neurosciences research center because we have so many neurological conditions, and this will be very helpful to learn about these cases and maybe help them in the future. Again, thank you, Dr. Samer and the team, for this outstanding experience. I can't thank you enough for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Hanin. Actually, the thanks is for you, and what actually did nothing except just support you, and you are brilliant enough. Let's take a comment. Just I want to say that, yeah, Hanin, it's different from US. US, the student, before they go to medical school, they go to biology 2 years maybe, then they go to medical school. In Iraq, it's different. Either you go to medical school directly from high school, or it's not there. So that's why her experience is different. She's from biology college. By the way, she's one of the first on her college as a ranked people, but has a specific interest that obligate us. We cannot say anything except, okay, come on and try. This is for medical student, but why not? Let's involve you. And it was a nice experience to have you, actually, Hanin. And we are pretty sure that you will excel in the future. I will be happy to have any comment from the panel.
Well, really very, very impressed, most impressed with Hanin and her courage and her dedication and her interest in the neurosciences. And thank you, Samer, again for your mentorship and your guidance for such wonderful young scientists and doctors. Haneen, there is in Mustashfa Jirahat, Jirahat Hospital, a good scientist who is doing neurophysiology, and he is really deep down to earth with his science and ability. I would like you to meet with him. His name's Abdel Nasser. Is in the neurophysiology department, which is part of the neurosciences or neurosurgical department at Jirahat.
It will Thank be you, Professor. I would love to meet him.
Yeah. If we communicate, you give me your email and I speak with him, and I'm sure you will find him very helpful and very inspiring too. So thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Professor. Do you have a comment, Dr. Osman?
No, I think I'm very happy I'm very happy Anine is happy and has been satisfied. I think that's the goal.
Yeah. Actually, from my side, I should say that they are efficient enough that make you think, okay, let's support them. They have the courage and they have the will. That's the most important. And I'm thinking all the other students are there. They are showing themselves in Ektham and Haneen, and I think they will do even better in the future. Thank you. That's the end of president's and student speech.
We hope you enjoyed these presentations. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to receive CME credit. This program and series was supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Osman Educational Foundation, which are the owners of SNI and SNI Digital, and associated with the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the Leading Gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks, and Role Models, and the founder of the Medical News Network. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Or if you have questions or comments, please send them to Osman at snidigital.org. We want to thank you for attending this meeting and listening to these lectures.